Hey there folks, Showrunner Nigel here, stopping in to let you know that while we're on break this week, here's a trailer for a show we think you should listen to, Ghostwax from Far and Tall Tales. Ghostwax is a horror fiction podcast following the work of The Last Reclaimer, investigating a series of unnatural killings by raising the dead and committing their final statements to a wax cylinder. Ghostwax is terrifying. With every single new episode that it releases, it somehow makes you afraid of something new, something you didn't think that you could be afraid of, but they've managed it. The writing in this is phenomenal. If you like horror stories, then we think you would like Ghostwax. What follows now is their first episode, Fresh Cuttings. You can listen to Ghostwax everywhere you get podcasts. You can follow them on Twitter at GhostwaxPod, on Instagram at FarandTallTales. You can visit their website at FarandTallTales.squarespace.com and support them on Patreon at Patreon.com/FarandTallTales. And with that, on with the episode.
Welcome to Ghostwax, a Far and Tall Tales production. The following story may contain graphic content. Listener discretion is advised. Episode 1, Fresh Cuttings.
How will we know if it's working?
This thing is old, so there's no readout. We'll have to listen back.
I hope it succeeds this time. I'm excited to begin.
Well, let's see. That should be clearer.
Do I really sound like that?
Pretty much. Everyone thinks they sound weird.
I like it.
You've really never heard your voice recorded before?
You saw what happened to the other devices.
Yeah.
I'm just glad you finally found one suitable for our purposes.
And what are those?
No time now. I'm late for an appointment. Could you show me how to operate this thing? It would be better for you not to have to accompany me this evening. Bit much for a first sit-in. Apparently the subject of tonight's interview is very badly decayed. The deceased was found sealed in this apartment, something not unlike a tomb. Wax had been melted around the doors and windows, which is why the deceased was not discovered until the smell managed to permeate through the hardwood above. The padlocks and chains on the door's interior, the bars on the windows, and the state of the wax itself make it unlikely the scene was tampered with until investigators arrived. The space is sparse. The renter and sole inhabitant, one Matthew Gerard, was apparently not interested in keeping a well-furnished apartment, though the plants are watered and well-trimmed. The body discovered in the apartment is believed to be that of Matthew Gerard, though that is the source of some confusion and ultimately the reasoning for my involvement. While the deceased is in a state of fairly advanced decay, the face does indeed appear to match file photos and social media accounts of young Mr. Gerard. Decomposition is consistent with what we would expect to see around 3 weeks. The fact that Mr. Gerard is still readily identifiable from the neck up, but that he and his easy chair have, from the neck down, more or less become one, is surprisingly, the second strangest detail in question. The most unusual thing about this situation is that Mr. Gerard has been seen every day this week. He has not been missed at his place of employment, where his co-workers have in fact reported a significant improvement in mood. He was seen at his gym this morning, and Matthew Gerard's parents, upon questioning, insist they had dinner with their son yesterday evening. And yet, how then, Mr. Gerard, were you found entombed and going to pieces in your apartment earlier tonight? Reclamation process will commence. Recounting will be compelled directly from the deceased following preparation. State your name.
Matthew Gerard.
You would not lie to me, would you, Mr. Gerard? I am here to discover the truth of your end, and seek justice for you if I can.
I doubt it. I fucking doubt it. It hurts.
I am sorry, Mr. Gerard. I will try to lessen it, but I must hear what happened to you. I believe others are in danger.
I want to sleep.
Soon, Mr. Gerard, soon, and I am afraid forever. Now, please. It started with a break-in. I think it did. It's all pretty fucked. But the way I felt that night, it makes sense now. As you can see, I don't really live in the nicest neighborhood. I moved into this dump when I was young and couldn't afford better, and then just never left. No time. I was always on the hamster wheel, always had next month or next year. So fucking stupid. One night, after working late, which I always did, I was so tired, I basically didn't make it out of my suit. Just collapsed face down. Friday night, and I was too tired to do anything fun. Not that I had hobbies anymore, not that I had friends. Whatever. I went to sleep, face down in my pillow, dead tired, slept like a rock. Except, I woke up. I know, people wake up, like in the middle of the night, with no reason, or from a dream they can't remember, but I don't. I've got myself trained. I wake up 6 a.m. every morning. I've got myself trained. So my eyes pop open, and it's so dark. So quiet. It's not right. I'm laying on my stomach, and I just get cold, like a chill. I know someone or something is right behind me, and I panic, kick and panic and scramble over. I pushed up against the headboard, scared like I've never been scared, not since I was a kid. But it's quiet and so dark and still. I can hear my heart, or the blood in my ears. There's nothing. Or I think there's nothing. But I notice my curtains. My curtains are fluttering. That neon sign outside is catching light on them. They are just sort of waving a little back and forth. Bright pink red, like raw skin, just kind of waving. Then I can see, as my eyes adjust, the light from outside reflecting in the broken glass all over the floor. The window's gone. And then I see a shadow kind of detach from all the others. I'd been looking right at it, but it was so dark. But now the light was behind him. there was a man in my living room. You can't imagine fear like that unless it happens to you. Nobody could get it. It's like a nightmare, but it's in high definition. So I'm so fucking scared I can't even move. People shit all over deer and stuff for freezing up and just dying, getting hit by trucks. Well, if that guy had wanted to kill me, he just could have. He could have just walked over and killed me. No fuss. Because I froze up like a block of ice. But he, I'm assuming it's a he because he was kind of big. But I never did see their face. Anyways, they just leave. Like the way they came in. Just steps up outside the window and drops. I'm on the second floor. It's not super high up, but you wouldn't want to jump. You wouldn't. The cop said that there had been a bunch of break-ins like that. Someone just busted in, didn't take anything. He didn't. All my stuff was where I'd left it. Even the video game shit and, like, I had a bunch of cash on the counter, all just left there. He didn't do anything. He didn't take anything. Just broke in and left. They said the guy must have had a ladder. Basically, he called me hysterical when I said he jumped out. More or less looked at me like, what am I, a guy in a nice suit, doing living in a bad neighborhood like this? Like it was my fucking fault. Like, you're a little to blame for just living here. I was mad and freaked out. And these fucking guys, who are supposed to be there to help me, by the way, that's what they're for, right? Are, like, giving me shit for crying, telling me to calm down, as I tell them how some freak had decided on a whim not to gut me like a fish in my own bed tonight. So anyways, I got kind of mad, and I just start saying whatever to get them out of my place. I think that's why I didn't notice. I think that's why I didn't notice it until later. It was Saturday morning now, but there's no way I'm going back to sleep. No way I'm gonna get in the shower alone in my apartment. So I pack up a few things and go down to the gym. I don't normally like to shower there with a bunch of early morning gym guys, but I needed it, and I couldn't be alone. So as I'm in the shower at the gym, shampooing, that's when I notice. I said earlier he didn't take anything. Well, that wasn't exactly true. He did take something. So as my hand runs over the back of my head, I feel it. There's a bald patch. There's a big chunk of my hair missing right off the back of my head because I'd been sleeping on my stomach. I screamed like I'd been burned, fear like a hot iron. I was so freaked out. It was so fucked. I scared the shit out of a bunch of guys in the locker room, but man, they were actually super nice. It was really fucking weird, of course, like nakedly explaining to all of these guys why I was screaming in the shower at like 8 a.m., but they were really nice. A lot of dude that's so fucked ups, and we can come back with you, check it out, help you get bars on the windows, new locks and shit. It was almost funny for a minute. Towels and creatine and bros being bros. I took those guys up on that shit, too. It felt a lot less exposed pulling up to my place with four big dudes. We got bars and locks and shit. I hadn't made any friends in years, honestly. Making friends in your 30s is weird. Needless to say, when it got late and I was alone again, the fear came back. I called my parents, told them what had happened, an edited version. I didn't want to tell my mom some freak had taken my hair. And then I went and stayed there. Thought I could get some sleep. I didn't. I woke up kicking a few times from dreams where it felt like someone was touching my hair. And then I had a nightmare. God, I hope it was a nightmare. Where I woke up and I, like, noticed my foot was sticking out of the covers. It was pitch black. I could hear my dad snoring down the hall. And then I felt something. Pressure on my foot and heard, like, a click. It felt like someone had just clipped one of my toenails. I fucking kicked and screamed, and my mom and dad came into my room. I was like, I was 8. I honestly have no idea if I had been asleep or imagined it or just freaked myself out. Though I suppose, considering what happened next, it's more likely than not, isn't it? Anyways, at the time, I couldn't tell. I don't keep good track of my toenail length. But my left big toe sure seemed short and squared off. Needless to say, I was exhausted and still freaked out by the time Monday rolled around. So I did what I hadn't done in ages. I took time off. I called in. It was short notice, but honestly, I'd been to the grind so long, I think Christy was happy to hear I was taking a break. I went out of town, visited college friends on the coast, met their wives, husbands, kids. It was nice, but it showed me just how empty it was to be me. But it was nice. So now it had been 4 days away, but work anxiety starts creeping in, and then it crept in enough that I started stressing about how shit was inevitably piling up, so I called to check my messages. Our office still has phones on the desks. It rang twice, and someone picked up. I was surprised. Hello? Nothing. But I hear someone breathing. Someone is there. And then it just hangs up. I call back, and it rings, goes to voicemail. And then I check it, find I have no new messages, which is fucking impossible. I check my work email now, and there's nothing. No new messages, which is impossible. But I look a little further, and I realize it's not that there isn't anything new. It's that it's all been read. There are responses to shit. So I open one and it's like, yeah, Christy, sounds good. We will circle back at the Wednesday afternoon conference and see what Bob thinks. It was work shit. Work shit about my work. The way I would respond. I don't know what to do. I'm scared. I'm pissed. I go home. I call Brent, one of the giant guys I made friends with at the gym. I ask him and the others to come over. Honestly, they seemed like they relished the idea of putting their muscles to work for something like this. I tell them I'll be back in town that night, that I'm heading back from a week away, and that that fucking creep is still messing with me. But then he gets quiet. A week away? Yeah, a week away, I say. I'm like, yeah, I've been out of town all week. This fucking creep must have hacked my emails now. He's messing with shit at my work. You've been away? All week? And then he pauses, and then he just says, yeah, man, you know, maybe better if we didn't get involved. Might be sort of more of a police thing. And then he hangs up. So I'm like, well, so much for testosterone making you tough. I'm panicking at this point, and I think about my father's gun. My father owns a gun, and I decide I'm not going to live scared of some freak identity theft. I call my parents to see if they're home. It might be stupid, but I'm planning to stop by there and get the gun from his closet. Maybe my mind's kind of fraying at this point, but that becomes my plan. I get my mom on the phone, They're over at the Flanagans.
Honey, oh, I'm glad you called. I was just telling the Flanagans about the amazing joke you told at dinner last night, which was so nice, by the way. Let's do dinners more often. You gotta come see your mother. But how did the beginning of the joke go? It was so funny, but I know I'm gonna mess it up.
My blood is ice. What the fuck are you talking about, Mom?
Language! I'm talking about the joke, the one where the punchline was like, no, the Cardinal's with me, that one. Oh, it was so funny, and it was so nice to see you, and see you and your father getting along. Oh, my God. Donna Flanagan says I gave away the punchline. Oh, jeez, I'm no good at jokes. You tell it, I'll put you on speakerphone.
I just hung up. I drove faster. They weren't going to be home. The gun was where I remembered it. Black, easy to load. I felt like I was losing it. I guess I might have been losing it. Can I ask? Was I crazy? Was this all in my head? I'm afraid I don't think so. Anyways, when I pull up to my apartment, the lights are on. Someone is in my place. And I know it's shitty and empty and lonely. I know it isn't anything, but it's mine. I don't have anything worth taking. Why would you steal my life? It wasn't much of one, but it was mine. I'm furious. I storm upstairs. I go to unlock the door. But it isn't locked, 'cause they aren't scared of me. But they will be. I hear laughter from inside. He's watching my favorite show. I can smell my popcorn cooking. I shove the door in. I smiled back at me. And I panicked and I just shot myself. I still don't understand what happened. I shot me. I mean the other me. I shot at them. And it just smiled at me as I shot it, but I'm the one whose stomach opened up. I'm the one who started bleeding. And then it stood up and pushed the gun aside, took it from my hand. And then it just sat me down in the chair as I tried to hold my guts in. I couldn't move. Mr. Patterson, upstairs, he called down asking if everything was okay, but me, the other me, stuck their head out the door. Everything's fine, Mr. Patterson. Sorry, popcorn bag exploded. Didn't get off the burner in time. It was me. Everything about it was like me, or like the me I pretended to be to other people. I still don't understand. The other me crouched down so we were eye to eye. It was like looking into a mirror. Have you ever looked in a mirror too long? When it stops seeming like your reflection and starts seeming like another person. It took my hand. I thought for a moment it was trying to, like, comfort me or something. But then I heard a click. It was clipping my fingernails. Keratin, it said. Keratin. Like it was explaining as it tucked the loose nails into its pocket. When I tried to yell, to scream for help, it smiled. Opened up, turned upside down into a terrified frown. It showed me my own agonized face as it swallowed up the sound. That is enough. Thank you. Safe journey. As you travel afar. Reclaimer's final notes. The entity mimicking the life of Matthew Gerard seemingly continued to do so for several weeks after these events. Preservation of the face is consistent with the habits of several nameless. As to why the entity wished to be Matthew Gerard, it likely had something to do with his work, as there's little else of value here. Though a full necropsy will be performed by the Order, and they will perhaps be able to determine if Matthew Gerard carried some spark or other intangible quality that made him a target. Silvers, take note. You may be able to identify the creature for the next several days. Even should it change its face, it will make a heavy use of perfume and deodorant to cover the smell, and will likely wear high collars, long concealing sleeves, and gloves to cover the discoloration of its limbs, as its connection to Matthew Gerard's body is likely still in effect. Further measures. We will need to scour for reports of break-ins where nothing of obvious value was taken, and anyone who has made such a report should, by now, be considered compromised. It's starting again.
Thank you for listening to Ghost Wax, a production of Far and Tall Tales. Find us at farandtalltales.squarespace.com. Ghost Wax is an independent podcast, so if you liked the show, please rate and review, and consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/farandtalltales. Also give a listen to our fantasy roleplay show, Could Have Been Heroes, for something completely different. Ghost Wax is written and directed by Robert Knutson, production and editing by Aaron Schoenrock. Our theme song is by Bo Hoover. This episode features Robert Knutson as Von Sid and Matthew Gerard, Aaron Schoenrock as Luca, and Amanda Jacobson as Mrs. Gerard.